So overall, let's just sum up. We've got increased cardiovascular events in all the trials that have looked at it, including MA17. These are not significant in attack and MA17. But when you look at MI and cardiovascular deaths, there's an increase in BIC-198 on letrozole and IES on exemestane. And that's important. And we need to follow it up to see whether it holds up with time. Clearly, people have been sensitized because of the COX-2 story. And if you start to see this starting to emerge, you can imagine that people are going to be looking at it very carefully. And it's going to be an issue.
I think the thing that's interesting is the question of whether or not this is going to be different with the different AIs. Because if you saw this with all three AIs, and if it was of this magnitude, perhaps it still would be a positive benefit risk ratio, particularly for a higher risk woman.
I think that's right. It would make you look very carefully at risk-benefit ratios again, and having looked at them, you would probably go ahead treating the large proportion of patients with AIs after surgery for breast cancer, but it may make you stand back a bit from treating those, small tumors on the off chance that it might do some good. Also, it might make you look again at your prevention trials because, as you know, there's a prevention trial with anastrozole, and also there's a prevention trial with exemestane. And if you've got increased cardiac events, as you do have with exemestane, that makes an exemestane prevention trial a bit problematical.
That's the one also that has a celecoxib in it, right?
Yes,
Is that
so it's a
still
double
in
whammy for
there?
for Carson and his colleagues because they've had to stop the trial because they need to take out the celecoxib and redo the protocol and send it off to the ethics committee and get that going again. But the other issue is now that we've got these data presented by Charles Coombs in the IES study on exemestane at San Antonio, what effect that will have on the ethics approval for that study.
And I guess the other question is that in terms of the big study, there's only 30-month follow-up, so these patients are going to continue to receive letrozole, whereas with the ATTACC study, basically you're past the 5-year point already.
With the ATTACC study, we're past the 5-year point. Only 8% of patients remain on study.